the 24th verse of the 10th chapter. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father and the daughter against her mother and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now, the Lord here says in the 16th verse, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they shall scourge you in the synagogue. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak, for it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Here, the Lord said, first of all, don't think that I've come to bring peace. Whereas the first thing that you would think, well, Lord, you're Prince of Peace. It's indeed that you came to bring peace. But he said, don't think that I've come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword, that one should be against another, a father, a son, a mother, a daughter, a daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, that one would be against another. I am come to bring a sword that a man's foe shall be that of his own household. Now, that's a little bit baffling. If you don't understand God and you don't understand the scriptures, then right away you would be confused and you would say, well, my God, Lord, here I tell that you are the Prince of Peace and all of your paths are peace, and he that keepeth his mind stayed on Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace, and the wisdom that cometh from God is first peaceful and easily be entreated. And here you say that you didn't come to bring peace but a sword. And I say, well, my God, how can I preach these things and tell the people these things knowing that I'm altogether wrong and here you come to bring a sword? But that isn't what Jesus is saying. All the things he said about being the Prince of Peace, that is true. All of his paths are peace. But he's simply making a statement, don't think that my coming is going to bring peace. Because when I come, one's going to be converted to Christ as to the Son. And the Father is still in the world and he's going to hate him because the world will hate you for my name's sake. And don't think that the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law is going to get together in that one is going to become a Christian and the other isn't going to become a Christian. And your foe is going to be that of your own household. For as we have it here in the church, There are sons that have problems with their father. There are husbands that have problems with their wives, and wives problems with their husband, and on and on. And it's constantly problems. There's a continual problem, all because of the gospel, all because of the word of the Lord. And they are constantly warring with one another and cutting at one another. And this is why there is no peace in the world. The Bible said, first of all, there is no peace to the wicked. Therefore, a lot of times, as I was telling somebody today, when we go to yoke up with the wicked, we go to link up with the wicked, or we're going to do something with somebody in the world, because we say, well, they've got the money and I've got the ideas, or they're willing, you know, and I don't know where else to go. That's wrong. As I was telling a brother today, first it's wrong because the Bible said, be not unequally yoked together with the unbeliever. Anytime a believer yokes up with an unbeliever, that's an unequal yoke. And you don't want to yoke up with an unbeliever. You are yoking up with the devil to start with, when the Bible emphatically states that darkness and light hath no fellowship whatsoever. You can't go out into the world and start a business and blend in with the wicked and think, well, you know, I know that I can't be a fellow to them, and I know that we can't do such and such things when it comes to religion, but after all, this is a money thing, and this is a matter of whether or not we have money or don't have money or make money, and he's out there to make money, and I understand he's a sinner, and he's understanding that I'm a Christian, and we're going to work together, and we're just going to make some money together. That will never be. That shows that you are altogether ignorant of the Holy Scriptures and don't have any understanding, because how can two walk together lest they be agreed? There's no way that people can walk together if they be agreed. If you've got a son and he doesn't agree with you, and you're planning to build your life around him and be part of him and him part of you, you're ignorant. You don't understand. If you've got a wife, if you've got a husband, if you've got any business associate, whatever you've got, a relative, and you're planning to blend in with them, you are altogether ignorant of the Scriptures. There is no possible way that you can do that. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, that's where you're wrong, because I work with my children, I get along with my children, and that proves that you're wrong. We make money together, we have businesses together. No, it doesn't prove that I'm wrong. It proves that you're not saved. It proves that you two agree, and if you know for sure that your loved one is not saved, irregardless to the fact that they might be a believer, if you believe there's one God, you do well. So does the devil. But even a brother, the Bible said, withdraw from him if he walk disorderly. How much more some of the others? Someone would say, but Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I've got to forsake my loved ones, my relatives? Well, the Bible says, they that be your foes shall be those of your own household. And it also says that God told Abraham to get thee out of the land of thy kindred, and I will make a great nation of thee. Get thee out of the land of thy kindred. Well, that is to begin with, get thee out of the land of the flesh. You're not of this world. I've called you out of the world, and I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things. Get away from the world. Come out from the world. You're not in the flesh. Get away from the flesh. It doesn't matter if it is a daughter. It doesn't matter if it is a son. Be quick to tell them, rebuke them sharply, and let them know that you're not going to carry on with them, that they're not going to come to your home, they're not going to bring the trash and their talk into your home, that you are a saint of God and you are a child of God, because your very son may be a walking devil. Your daughter may be a walking devil, and it could very well be that they're born into your family, just like Cain was into Adam's family, for no other reason than to kill and tear down and destroy and probe at your soul and torment you day and night while you pray and while you beg. And it might be a walking devil. So be quick to stand up for God, you know, and put your whole family behind you. Put your friends behind you. Put all of them that you count dear to you behind you, and say, look, folks, my family is the family of God. You know, they came one time to the Lord Jesus and they said, your mother's wanting to see you. Some of your brethren are wanting to see you. He said, who is my mother? He said, these that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's why we wrote that song, I belong to the family of God. I'm no longer some mother's dear son, but my Father above sends me his love on the wings of a snowy white dove. So see, we belong to the family of God there. After all, who is your father? Is it some earthly man when God says that you're not to call any earthly man your father? You know, you have but one Father, even the Heavenly Father. So he's our Father. Who is our mother other than the church? These that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. For the Bible speaks of the mother as to being the church, as to that of heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all, out of the lively stones of which ye are, if ye belong to God. So then we are a different people. We are a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood. We are sons and daughters of the great, wonderful King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you can't do like Abraham of old and lay your son on the altar, lay your daughter on the altar, or lay yourself on the altar as to give your life, then you cannot be my disciple. If you can't stand up in the midst of people and say, I hate my life, the life that I lived outside of Christ, I hate it. I hate the past. I hate the remembrance of it. Don't have pictures around where cigarettes hanging out of your lips and your fingers, or some mini skirt, or some bobbed off hair, or some painted up thing like a Jezebel on the wall, of that beautiful remembrance of that beautiful you when you was out there a walking devil. Don't do it. Burn the thing. Turn the thing up. Get rid of it. If there's anything at all, don't have things in your house that's not right. The Bible said Moses was faithful in all of his house. You know, the devil has been so shrewd and so cunning in our day that he has put all kind of literature, all kind of books, all kind of magazines, dictionaries, everything that he can think of, he's put it there, including the Bible, with half-nude men and half-nude women. And these that are worldly and these that are gullible after the things of the world, he has put everything from the Sears to the Spiegel to Riches to whatever name I don't know and can't remember, of catalogs of nothing but men and women posing naked to show you the new frocks and whatever. And then he's told you, now don't be fanatic and don't think that this is wrong. This is just things, you know, and some of our mannequins. And when you walk around in this store with all the filth and the gullible things that constantly bring to your mind lewdness and that which isn't right, and these books are just sitting right there in them all the time, you know, and love stories and magazines and all these kind of things. Folks, let me tell you something. There ain't a Pretty Boy magazine or Pretty Girl magazine or Playboy magazine that's any dirtier, any more filthy than these books that come from those stores. You are filthy from your head to your feet just to sit down and go through them things. And anybody that's got God in their heart, really got God in their heart, the first thing they'll do like Paul did in the day that of his ministry, when he gathered all the books together and brought the people together and he had a bonfire. You know, be faithful in all of your house. Be faithful in all of your heart. Come out from among them and be a separate people. You don't belong to that anyway. Come out from among them. Don't just stroll around in the malls all the time and be one of the beasts that's just constantly eating and gnawing off of the old vomit and wallowing in the mire. And that's your day where you spend your day just going, where they're just constantly coming and going. Don't go to the concerts and the singings and all these things where they crack jokes and go through all these things and say, well, these little things don't bother us. Remember, the little foxes is what spoils your vine. And I'm talking about holiness. The Bible said not only holiness, but perfecting holiness. In the fear of God, being holy in body and being holy in spirit. You know, and somebody will say, well, we're not under the law and we don't mess with the legalistic things and we don't preach doctrine. But the Bible says, who can I teach doctrine? Those that are weaned from the breast, that are not little old babes. And I allow for little babes here and there. See, who can I teach doctrine? And the Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And the doctrine of Christ was as to the word of God, which was holiness. So then we don't preach doctrine. Why is it they don't preach doctrine? Because they are of the devil. They preach a doctrine, all right. They tell you they don't have any doctrine, but they got a doctrine. And that doctrine is like a feather that's loose in the wind, where they let everything go. Everything goes to where they can get everybody and get their income, and then play around with the flesh and build it up. And they have a doctrine, and the title of it is the doctrine of devils. The Bible said they have doctrines of devils. So then let's stay away from that. Let's be holy. Let's be godly. Let's be pure. Let's give all of our thoughts to God. The Bible said casting down imagination, every high thing that exalted that itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience. Well, I quote this so many times to you. So many times, bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. See that to have charity, and charity thinketh no evil. Charity thinketh no evil. And yet the Bible said God looked down from heaven and saw that the very thoughts of men's heart was altogether evil. And then he sent the Spirit of Christ in their heart to do away with all those ugly thoughts, that they should never think another evil thought all the days of their life. For to think evil thoughts is sin. And to see foolish things, I say so often, people that let their children watch these little comics on TV and read comics, and they say, this is not bad. But yet in those little comics, there's everything from nudeness to perversion to adultery to killing to drinking to carousing. And the devil, through that foolish little thing of Walt Disney, who was one of the kingpins in this thing, and through making millions and millions of dollars off of the people, one of the richest men that ever lived. And yet, according to what I understand, even being discharged from service, had a dishonorable discharge, and was proud of it and portrayed it up over his desk. See, and set all of this thing up and has pulled millions of people into it, when the Bible emphatically states that foolish thoughts is sin, and the thoughts of foolishness is sin, and all of that is sinful, all of that is evil, all of that is ugly. And I've told you before that is as childish as it sounds, that they positively prove that something like Jack and the Beanstalk, they said, it was one of the key things to people who have murdered people in their lifetime, just a little old nothing. See, so I'm telling you, in those fables, like we bring out a lot of times, as to these things that you've read in the past, as Cinderella and Snow White, both good and bad is veiled within those things. And those things project certain things as to what the tale might be. So remember, you want to be holy. You want to be godly. How holy do I want to be? I want to be so holy that I will not have one thought contrary to God, not one thought out of balance with God. David said, Father, forgive me for the very intents of my heart, for the motives, reflex, intents of your heart. You know, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I know I think evil thoughts because I cannot help but think evil thoughts. I don't know who told you that, and I don't know where you read that in the Bible, but there's no such thing as that. Somebody cannot get rid of evil thoughts. The Bible said we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And to tell yourself and to tell me and to tell God that you can't help but think evil, that proves that you're corrupt to begin with. You're an unbeliever to begin with. And when you do nothing but sit around and think evil thoughts, it means that you are unclean, folks. And the Bible said to the pure of heart, to the believing, is there nothing that is unclean? But to the unbelieving and the defiled is there nothing pure. Even their very conscience is defiled. But where these things are, there is no conscience of sin. See, and as long as you're in the flesh, you have a conscience of sin. As long as you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. As long as you are in the flesh, then you are not in heaven, and you're not in the presence of God, and you are not pleasing the Lord. You have not been translated into the Spirit and Kingdom of God. So then that means that you're lost. It means that you are of the devil. It means that your thoughts, your plans, your will, you're always hunger and thirst after the things of the world. And as long as the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. As long as you got a concern about your body and your face and your clothing and your food and your jobs and your families and all these kind of things, then your mind isn't on God. Every thought is supposed to be on God, that you meditate in His laws day and night. So then going on to perfection, that is to perfect holiness in the fear of God, that I might, Paul said, present you to God blameless, both or all together, body, soul, and spirit, that I might present you blameless, not anything against you, blameless, body, soul, and spirit. And I've told you a number of times, there's several dimensions of to what life consists of. And in one dimension, as to the angels, they don't have bodies. Angels are spirits. He said, I make my angels ministering spirits. And we that overcome and are translated into the kingdom of God or the Spirit of Christ, when we overcome and we are translated into that kingdom or into that spirit, then are we quickening spirits, and we are bodiless people. We are bodiless spirit. We are bodily spirit. Our spirit at death went back to God who gave it. Our body died by Calvary. It was buried in the ground, and now we are as the angels and we dwell in heaven. And we are spirits. The first man, Adam, a living soul. The second man, Adam, a quickening spirit. And we have been translated into a oneness of that second man, Adam, the quickening spirit, who is hid as Christ in God until the time of the restoring as to the change of the body. And we are there as to that. And we will come back to pick up these bodies. There will come a time when we will come back to pick up the bodies. So in the meantime, we are perfecting holiness in these bodies, in the sense that He is our perfection. And these mortal beings, as to where our spirit dwells, as to human concept, then our cup is running over with His heavenly treasure in the earthen vessel, as to life. And yet it is no earthen vessel to God as to your human form, because your human form is dead. It is gone. It is buried in a watery grave in the name of Jesus. It was cut off at Calvary. And because of that, you're free from the curse, because you're free from the law, and you're free from transgression, and you're free from sin, and you're free from death, because you already died your death. For it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, and you've already died. As a man, you've already died. And today, God looks at your body as that of being dead, buried, and gone is the old person. And now He has brought you forth in a new life, looking at you as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, that which is sitting on the throne, as to the headship of the many-membered body that is not in the earth, but that is in heaven, even the mystic body of Christ. For the Bible said, there is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. There is a corruptible body, there is an incorruptible body. And as we have borne the image of the corruptible, so shall we bear the image of the incorruptible. And as we have borne the image of the terrestrial, so shall we bear the image of the celestial. And we know that if this body be dissolved, we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. That is to say, the body of Adam, the first man in this earth, unto sin and death, it's gone. And now we bear the image of the Lord Jesus Christ as in the presence of the Heavenly Father. And though we stumble many times, even as a good man falls seven times, he'll get back up, because God is his strength. And He said, let the weak say I'm strong. To be strong by the power of my might, or because you failed, that doesn't mean he failed. Because you haven't been able to endure, that doesn't mean that he hasn't been able to endure. And he said, you be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Not because you overcome the world. For he said to Peter, he said, Peter, when Peter cursed and done the things that he done, he said, I prayed for thee, Peter, that thy faith fail not. His works had already failed. And he was cursing and denying that he ever knew the Lord. But he said, I prayed for you, Peter, that after all of this cursing and all of your acting up, that when the condemnation literally crushes you, whereas it did Peter when he wept like a child, that there'll still be underneath the pile of that rubbish that little inclination of faith, even as Peter walked on the water, had failed to believe and was sinking in the water, and just a little inclination of faith come up saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. And God was able to catch him. And so then he said, and when you are strengthened, go convert your brethren. Tell your brethren of this great love and of this great strength. And as it was with Paul, Paul said, all these evils I've done, For all my life I was blameless concerning the law, as touching the law. And I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I've done every religious thing a person should be. Do to be whatever they should be as a religious person in the sight of God. But the Lord said, Paul, in that you've made such a mess of things. Paul killed people, had them killed. He blasphemed. He done all these things, but said, because I did it in my ignorance, I obtained mercy. And so then, in all of these conditions, Paul found himself smitten blind. And God had to send him down to the street called Straight to open the eyes, move the scales, to bring him to the right understanding. See, so God had mercy on him, and God picked him up, just enough faith to pick him up and put him on the right trail. See, this is the condition of the world today. We are free from our sins. We are free from the body. We are altogether free as the church of the living God. But so what? So is the world free from their sins. And so is their sins taken away. And so do they feel the presence of God. And so do they feel the Spirit of God. And so do they worship God. So do they do these things just like you do these things. While the blood is on the seat of atonement, so does all people do these things. See, and the mercy is out there. But the thing is, does that make them a Christian? Oh no, that doesn't make them a Christian. But when you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and the world has been rooted out of you, and the desire to do worldly things is gone, and there's no conscience of sin anymore on the inside of you, and your whole heart is to love and to serve God with all of your mind, with all of your strength, with all that is within you, you love the Lord Jesus, then the conscience of sin is gone. And then if the body stumbles, whatever, it doesn't matter, because Jesus died to take away your sins, your unbecomingness. And that's why the world's sins are taken away, because all of you are born of Adam. And Jesus died to take it away. If you don't come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, has to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then your sins still are taken away, as in this dispensation of grace, while the blood is on the seat of atonement, and the sins of all the world is gone, and Jesus shed his blood, that they might shout and sing, and that they might be in hell, and they might have, as in this second realm of heaven, or second heaven, that they might have all the good things of life, as blessings and prosperity and relief from pain and from misery and these different things. But when Revelation 12 transpires and Lucifer is cast down, in that the blood will then come off of the mercy seat just as soon as the child goes up, because the only reason it's on the mercy seat is for the sake of the child that's in the midst of the people that's being formed and born. Once it comes off, that's the end of grace. The days of grace is over. Satan is cast out, which means that the people who are ungodly and the people who are filled with the devil, they will have no more grace. The illumination, as it lifted off of Adam in the garden and Eve, it will be lifted, and then they'll find themselves amidst the briars and the heartaches and sorrows of life. As a matter of fact, no light, I say so often, no light, not even enough knowledge among the medical world to perfect a bottle of healing medicine. For the Bible said in that day there'll be no healing medicine, because healing comes from God, and all they do is reflect the knowledge and understanding of the righteous, which are of a good understanding. And when that light as to that glory is gone by the blood coming off the seat of atonement, then these people that are full of the devil, they're the generation of vipers, and there they'll be in the midst of their ignorance, and there they'll be gnawing their tongues for pain, and the pain will be so severe that they will curse the God of heaven. See, so that means that Lucifer, which is in that body, will be cast out of that wonderful environment of God, that wonderful light of God, or that is when the church goes out as the child going up, the illumination that is coming from those that are in the midst of them, it will be gone. That is to say, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I've come into the world as a light. I'm the light of the world, and this is the condemnation. That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than evil or good. They love darkness rather than light, and it's because their deeds are evil. So then, I'm coming to the world. But when he went away, he said, now ye are the light of the world. I now, I now leave you as the light of the world. And as long as you're in the world, that illumination is there. And that wonderful forgiveness of sin is there. And that wonderful blessing of God is there. As long as you as the church are in the world. But when the church goes out, that's the child being caught up. And when the child goes up, no more illumination. Everyone that's left in the world then, that old intellectual mind, that old gullible desire of what they do every day as a sinful, adulterous generation will begin to project itself, be very protruding among people. And just like that, the darkness as to Satan being their ruler, all of this will come over them. And then the pains and the miseries. Because when you don't understand and when you don't know, then you're in problems. Look at the dark continent of Africa, which is symbolic of this. And look at the diseases. And look at the heartaches. And look at the drought. No water and no food. And look at the pictures where the little bellies are pushed out from starvation. And where the little bodies is all shriveled up. And the hot blistering wrath of the sun is constantly upon them, and they can't plant nothing, and they can't find anything, and are dying by the thousands. And look at these army ants just moving over. I've been over in some of the countries, and I've looked at the hills of these great ants, and the hills that they build, rather than like our little old red ants here of about 2 or 3 inches at the most, they build hills that are many feet high. We've taken pictures of them, and these ant hills is way up above your head, towering above your head. And these army ants just overrun a whole village and sting the people to death, just devour the locusts and all these diseases and whatever. There has to be something happening in the earth to show what's going on in the spirit, as in heaven, so in the earth. And these poor people have to go through this. God has chosen that they go through this because of sin. This has to be made manifest. And the dark bodies absorbing the sun and not reflecting the sun, because a body of darkness will absorb the sun. And it's hard on them, you know, even to work in the hot sunshine like that, when it's not that way with a person that's light-skinned. See, and they're over there going through this terrible ordeal to show this thing to all the world. And all the world together can't feed them. All the world together can't stop it. All the world together can't take away their misery and their pain over there. But one of these days when their mission is finished, and it's going to be finished because they're coming to God by the millions over there. And once this is over and they come to God, then it's going to be lifted and it won't be over there anymore. It'll be in America. It's going to come down on America. And then this wrath is going to come down, and the reality of what they symbolically have been showing for years, all of a sudden, the mass of reality is going to take place. A unanimous thing as to where these things are going to take place, and what a horrible, horrible nightmare it's going to be. And folks, you're right on the verge of it right now. It's later than you think, as the little article. See, it is growing late. It is late. And some of you still are not trying to conform to Christ. You're still not trying to love the Lord. And yet you know, Jesus said, having seen the wrath of God upon the others that have done the things that you're doing, you are still doing these things. Jesus was so angry because of the hardness of their heart, knowing the suffering that he was going through to try to help them escape the damnation of hell. He finally just told them. The Bible said, he said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Said, you generation of vipers, said, you know what's happening, and you know the judgment for the things and the penalty of the thing. In that, in the Old Testament, these things happened for your example. You saw the earth actually open up and swallow the people, and you still do these things knowing that. All right, so anyway, I'm just saying here with a little exhorting tonight that everything is at an end. You are known by your doings. What are you doing? What are you doing? Watching TV. Non-virtuous thing on TV. This charismatic move, I refer to it so often. What are they doing? They are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. See, there is a grace of God, a temporary grace. The blood on the seat of atonement. To give everybody a chance to get right. So they've discovered that. Satan has made it known to them. That all of this grace is here. That God favors us. Look at it. We've got all these goods. These medical reliefs. All these riches and whatever. Look at it, folks. God is with us. God is with us. And indeed he is. As to the rain upon the terror. It is. And Satan has took advantage and deceive those people. And because you're elect, you can't be deceived. You know better than that. See, and all of these people, though there are good people among them, though there are babes in Christ among them, and there are people that's going to come out of those groups, yet at the moment, they are taking advantage of the grace of God with their lascivious living, lavishly sporting their diamonds and pearls, as we say with lascivious living. Lavishly sporting their diamonds and pearls, they put the dear Savior to shame. And then all of a sudden, it's going to be lifted. And all of this praying and all of this thing that they've been doing and singing, just coming in, you know, they just sing and sing, and it's beautiful. Just singing, you know. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon them as when Saul prophesied. It was beautiful. See, and they're just singing, singing. Someone said, well, isn't that the right way to praise the Lord? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The little birds praise the Lord. Everybody should praise the Lord. That's right. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, isn't that right? That's right. But is that becoming unto them to praise the Lord? No. The Bible said praise is comely for the upright. Praise is comely for the upright. What then is this thing as them praising God? Do they have a right to praise God? Of course they do. Do they praise God out of sincerity? Of course they do. Because the little terror loves the rain. That's what gives it its life. It has just as much of a jubilee as the grain does. See, but the thing is, does God receive that? Only in the sense that they are indebted to God in every way. But does God receive that as to the praise that's coming from them? As to bless them only in the temporary sense of the love of God through Christ Jesus. For the Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day, and he will pursue the wicked till they perish from off the face of the earth. And is their praise accepted of God as to the blessings from God? Absolutely not. The Bible said, and the very prayer of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. Their praises is abomination in the sight of God. It's very deceptive. They stand at the door. They don't go in to the salvation of the soul to where someone can see a light and come in. They stand at the door. They're just as wicked and wretched as ever. They mess with everything in the world. They love the world. They have the love of the world in them. They have the love of the flesh there. They're still in the flesh. They can't please God. It's impossible. And all their praises are not becoming to God at all. He said, they are, in one word, vomit upon my table. I've spewed them out of my mouth. And the Pope will pick them up, as he said the other day. He was glad his children had come back on. So then we're living right down at the closing of the doors. It's nigh, even at the door. We're living right down at the separation of the sheep and of the goats, of the tare and of the wheat. And these sermons that are coming are not sermonettes, even though they're just little exhorting messages, and we'd love to wade into the deep, deep waters, and a lot of these are deep, even as we say words here. But folks, the blood is ready to come off of the seat of atonement. And with it coming off, that's the end of the days of grace, and that's the end of the image of the devil in the presence of God. Satan, the red dragon in Revelation 12, was actually Saul in heaven, which was the second heaven, and waiting to devour the child with that old religious act of his. As do I say, you know, they're born into the churches, and the churches, the denominations, and the different things, all of them a name that they live and they're dead. All of them have come into this thing, you know, and that old blood life, which is called the red dragon, the old blood life, they're waiting to devour that child. Just as quick as one joins the church, he's a football player, he's a basketball player, he's somebody that can be a celebrity, he's educated to bring prestige to the church, and that big mouth devil, that dragon is waiting just to devour the child. He was waiting there in Revelation with his big mouth open, waiting to devour that child just as soon as it was born. But there's one thing the Bible said when the real child was born, as to that child of God, the man child, he was caught up into the third heaven. Or that is, when this message comes forth and the real child is born of the Spirit, he is transformated of mind, he is translated of spirit right into the very Spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God, which is the third heaven, and he is caught up away from this old intellectual religion of the outpouring of the mercies of God upon the just and the unjust, the tare and the wheat. So just as quick as this comes off of the mercy seat, it's all over for the flesh. No more religious games. No more ball game mixtures, trying to mix darkness with light and all these kind of things. No more that charismatic means of all of this religious thing and never trying to perfect holiness unto the Lord. Folks, holy in body and in spirit. For your body is the temple of the Spirit, and the man that defileth the temple, him shall God destroy. For God dwells in you. He walks in you. He talks in you. If you don't have his Spirit, you're none of his. If you're not filled with his Spirit, if you're not born of his Spirit, then it doesn't matter how much you believe, doesn't matter who that you are joining yourself to or what kind of religious stride you have through life. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are. If you're not born again, then that means that you're not his. So to have his Spirit, Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. The child is known by his doing. Said in his will, you're going to do. That's why you hate me, Jesus said. All right, the old bonds child always mocking the free child. Let's stand together, just a little bit of exhortation tonight, to again remind you of that wonderful world of light and that wonderful Christ of Calvary and that wonderful God who is so sweet, so wonderful, and so understanding. Think not that I've come to bring peace, because what I'm going to say to you is going to stir people up, and there's going to be a division among you, and one's going to be against the other. But he that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus, being born of the Spirit, to the indwelling of the great, wonderful Holy Spirit, all the Holy Ghost, this on the inside, you'll have perfect peace. All of the wisdom that cometh from God, you don't have to be troubled to try to make a decision or wonder if it's God, getting all frustrated. All you got to do is remember that when it comes to you from God, it'll be peaceable. It'll be easy to be entreated. The thoughts will be peaceable. The desire will be peaceable. And all that happens will be peaceable that comes to you as to the meditation, the thoughts, or whatever it is that's coming to you concerning God to lay out a path of peace before you. And if it's not peaceable, don't let yourself communicate with that spirit. Don't have anything to do with that kind of evil, because it's not God. The saints of God are ministered to by the angels of God, not fallen angels. And it's always inspiration and joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's always strength and encouragement to your faith, even as the angels came to Jesus after the long, weary time of abstaining from food there in the wilderness, and they ministered to him. All right, let's sing this together. When Satan and the angels came, they said, if you be the Son of God, and it is written thus and thus, and why don't you do it? And all this kind of thing, you know. So let's know the voice of the Lord. My sheep know my voice. A stranger they're not going to follow. The days of David, when David done his wrong, it was said a stranger came by. A stranger, the prophet. The prophet said, David, a stranger came by and cause this ugly misdemeanor of life. So then, today we have the great Holy Spirit, which David did not have as the indwelling. And there's no reason for these things to happen to us. For we're sealed, and the evil one cannot touch our inner man. Sealed unto the day of the change, as to the redemption of the body. And so it was said, a stranger came by, but it is said of us today, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Let's sing this song together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Precious Savior. Sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over. You know, if the Spirit of the Lord is in you, then you'll be led of the Spirit. And as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, they are the sons of God. When you are led by the Spirit of God, then are ye the sons of God. And that means that we are His children. And if we're children, we're heirs and joint heirs. We're partakers of the benefit. So when we sing this song, let's remember that as we sing, "Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul." Are you in the kingdom of God tonight? Is the kingdom within you? Sweep over my soul. It isn't just the blood on the seat of atonement, it's to the mercy seat and the illumination of that great, wonderful light upon which that light has come. See, but it is an indwelling translation of your spirit being interwoven with that great, wonderful light. And because of this, it moves your spirit to do the things that Christ wants to do. It is the Holy Spirit, even Christ's Spirit on the inside of you, motivating your body to conform to the image of the Son of God and to perfect holiness in your life. For the same yesterday, today, and forever, He's still about His Father's business as He dwells within you. Hear it. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete. While I sit at your feet, precious Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing this with me. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. The songwriter said, take a little time for Jesus. He took a little time for you. While we sing this chorus, the altars are open. Give me a key, friend. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His. Can you do that tonight? Let's sing that together now. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. All your sorrows will vanish and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let's sing this little chorus, Frank. What can I give Him of all He has given? Oh, what can I give to my Lord? I don't have riches, a mansion, in all the palace. Oh, what can I give to my Lord? Sing that with me. Earth is his footstool, and heaven is his throne. The cattle on a thousand hills, my Lord already owns. What can I give to the Lord but my heart? One more time. The cattle on a thousand hills, my Lord already owns. Was his from the start. What can I give to the Lord but my heart? You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? When the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, that's the lights of home. It's a welcome sight. I can hear all the angels sing with harps of gold and a thousand strings. Earth holds no charm when I hear that song, sweet beautiful land. It's my home, sweet home. And all I want, oh, home I see. Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, that's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. My soul cries out, oh Lord, how long till my tolling ends and you call me home? Since I caught a glimpse of my home in the sky, nothing in this world keep me satisfied. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel the breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Let's sing this little chorus. We're going to let you go in just a minute or two. The world seems cold and your friends seems to you there is someone who cares for you. When there's tears in your eyes and your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who's a friend to you. Sing that with me. Someone to share, there is someone who cares, your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the skies, he'll brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares for you. When I'm tossed on my sea and the waves all cover me and the dark has won't let sunshine through, seems I hear your voice say, child, there'll be a better day. Don't allow the clouds to hide sweet pain. You've got one more valley. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear, one more curve in life's road, just one more mile to go, and you can lay down your heavy load when you get home. Don't let Satan see your tears. Try to smile above your fears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be faithful all the way and it'll be worth it all someday. For it's all gonna be over after a while. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear, one more curve in life's road, one more mile to go when you can lay down the heavy load when you get. Can you sing that with me again? You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear, one more curve in life's road, one more mile to go when you can lay down heavy load when you get home. Let's lift a hand together, love the Lord for just a minute as we sing this little chorus. Want to praise him? I want to praise him. Do you? The Lamb for sinners slain. Let me give him glory, all ye people, for his blood that's washed away every stain. One more time. It's only us praising. Lord, let us praise Him. Praise that Lamb for sinners. I'm going to ask Brother Bright Hollis to come to this building.